Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Remember that terrible train crash onto I-5 in California, the high-speed rail? It was in Washington, right? The high-speed rail that was supposed to go up to 80 miles an hour and was in a curve where the speed limit was really only 30. And the derailment was spectacular. It was the maiden voyage of that new multi-million dollar high-speed line. It was just a stunning and terrible story. And so now the Clifford Law Offices here in Chicago have taken the case of some of the people who were injured or killed. And that's not too surprising. They often find themselves as the representing attorneys in cases like these. One of the attorneys that's representing some of the plaintiffs is Michael Kurzik, and he joins us now on WGN. Michael, it's John Williams. You're on WGN. How are you?
Hi, John. It's Mike. Thanks for having me. I'm doing well.
So there are 10 individuals who were injured in that December 18th derailment, and you represent them, huh?
That's correct. We represent some victims that were on the train and some victims that were on the ground. As you know, the train derailed on the curve and came crashing down onto Interstate 5 in Wilmot, DuPont, Washington.
I'm reading about one of these guys who, I guess, is sitting there in his car or truck. He's going to work. How bizarre this must have been. And suddenly a train comes crashing down on him. He breaks limbs and suffers. He's alive. I guess he's going to make it. But he suffered a number of injuries, right?
He suffered serious injuries to his right leg. He fractured his femur, his femoral head, and the main bone in his right arm. It was all injuries on the right side. When you look at the picture of his vehicle, it's amazing that he even got out of it. And what's crazy about it is, you know, drivers should be focused on, you know, the safety of other drivers on the road, not trains crashing down on them, coming off the tracks.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not going to fault you for not knowing to look up and see if a train was coming. So this happens in out west. You're obviously in Chicago. I know you're working in concert with the firm from, I believe, Seattle. But how is it that they found you or you found them?
You know, we work nationally and internationally on these cases. We do aviation crashes. Yeah. We do derailment crashes. And through our reputation, somebody found us. We got retained by them. We met some other folks that they knew while we were out there and got retained by them. And we've started filing lawsuits as of this week. We filed two so far.
I guess it's word of mouth a lot of times. Like, if that happened to me, I wouldn't know where to begin. But if I knew some of the other victims, if we were talking amongst ourselves, I'd say, what are you doing? And somebody said, well, I went online and I Googled transportation injury representation. I mean, it's something like that, I would imagine. Huh, Mike?
Sure. You know, we don't chase cases, our firm. A lot of personal injury lawyers are accused of going out there and knocking on doors and passing out pamphlets and doing that type of thing. We get cases through our reputation. We get cases through other lawyers who have know our reputation and want us to assist them in their cases. And then people do their research. People are very savvy now, and they search the Internet, and they try to find the best lawyers they can. A lot of times people do what I do. They research a bunch of different lawyers. They talk to different lawyers, and they hire who they're comfortable to work with. We've had a lot of conversations with people in this crash, in addition to the ones that we currently represent. We anticipate we'll represent more.
So what happens now?
You know, we filed the suit. Amtrak will be served with that. And, you know, once we get in front of a judge, if Amtrak doesn't try to, you know, transfer the case to a different court, a federal court or another state court location where another suit's been filed, we will ask for discovery in the case, which is, you know, written requests of questions, requests for production of documents from the people. And, you know, we anticipate that Amtrak will fight that and say there's an ongoing NTSB investigation and, you know, they can't have that discovery. It's the NTSB process allows Amtrak to be a party to their investigation because they need expertise of some rail people and locomotive people, but the very victims of the crash don't have a say in the NTSB report. So to us, our clients need a voice in the process here, and their only recourse is filing lawsuits. and having us look at every possible cause of the incident to get our clients and the public answers. You have to remember the Amtrak is a public railroad owned partially by the government, and the public deserves to know through public proceedings why this happened.
Has anybody said why this accident happened? Why was the train doing 80?
We don't know why the train was doing 80, and you know the we know the conductor and the engineer had a co-conductor that was under training in there. We don't know if they were talking about a fishing trip they were going to go on. We don't know if they were having, you know, senseless conversation in there.
Or if they were doing their best and there was a mechanical failure. Maybe the train could not be slowed down. We don't know that either, do we?
Yeah, we haven't heard anything from the NTSB that suggests that one way or another. But there is a something called positive train control that exists throughout the country and is mandated to be in by this year on trains. And it is there, but it wasn't functioning and it wasn't being used. And that's one of the things that we need answered. Why, after the Philadelphia derailment a year ago, where mm-hmm. a train was going two times the speed limit on a curve, is there a curve that exists on a brand new line that doesn't have positive train control activated? I can't understand why that wouldn't be activated here when it's a, like you said, a multi-million dollar federally funded project, and it's just not there. If that was there, the NTSB came out in their preliminary report today and said this probably wouldn't have happened.
I'm sorry, the NTSB did say that today?
A preliminary report came out, and they suggest in there that if the positive train control was in place, this is something that could have been avoided.
Well, regardless of who's at fault or what was or wasn't functioning, it happened. So I don't suppose it matters that much to a guy with a broken leg. The point is there's a train in my lap. So then what happens? How much money is that person due?
You know, it's too early to tell. We don't know what the long-term impact from the injuries are going to be to him. Will he? He's 24 years old, the guy in the car. Will he be able to go back to work and support his family? Will he have ongoing post-traumatic stress-type symptoms? You have to remember, if you look at the picture of his car and think of a locomotive landing on a pickup truck, and a pickup truck being struck and moved by the locomotive, it's like a bomb went off. It's like an explosion. And if you look at this vehicle, you can't understand how anybody got out of it alive, but Blaine did, and the driver did.
You know, I think most of us listen to a case like this way, Mike, and that is that guy's due some money. Obviously, he's got to be made as whole as he can. Maybe there's some other punitive damages or some compensatory things because he's going to suffer trauma, and we'll come up with an amount of money. But I don't think punishing Amtrak, making it more difficult for them to be profitable or viable, does anybody any good either. So let's make this guy as well as we can, but I don't know that he needs to be made any richer than is necessary. Do you know what I'm saying?
I think he needs to be made whole in terms of his injuries, but I also think when you look at Amtrak, you know, this is a eerily similar incident to what happened in Philadelphia, and obviously the message wasn't gotten there. We don't know if it's their training. We don't know if it's the failure to use positive train control. Why does this occurrence, why is a train going almost three times the posted speed limit when there's multiple signs saying you're supposed to be going 30 here? How does that happen at a curve when you know in the rail industry that when you're approaching a curve, that is a hazard? That is a hazard that has to be dealt with. That is a hazard that has to be addressed. Did Amtrak do any hazard analysis, on this area of the track, knowing it's a curve, knowing it's a brand new area of rail that their trains are going to be operating with passengers after Philadelphia? Did they learn the lesson from that? Litigation, helps enhance safety sometimes. The NTSB's role is to find the probable cause of an occurrence, and in litigation we try to look deeper and try to look at every cause of it to hopefully enhance safety. And then the Continental Flight 3407 crash, which happened in Buffalo, the plane crash, we represented family members who one of their missions was to enhance safety, and we assisted them and provided them with the resources they needed to go to the Hill and get legislation passed to help safety in the regional airline industry. And we have some clients here that we've been retained by who have strong feelings like those clients have, and we are going to help them however we can to get that process going to help enhance safety. So it's not just about the money, it's about safety.
Speaking of the money, do you guys get compensated if you don't win?
We do not.
Yeah, so it's contingency?
It's all contingent on being successful.
Yeah. Is that the way these sorts of things are normally handled?
It is.
Yeah.
It is. It gives a victim equal footing to what the railroad has. The railroad has unlimited resources to fight litigation, and an individual who is injured might not have the resources to stand up to a railroad if they didn't have a lawyer and the contingency system did not exist. So yeah. I'm on equal footing.
Nice to talk to you, Mike. We'll visit again. Good luck to everybody on this. What a tragedy. I hope that railroad is able to operate and we don't have things like this down the road again. I want these victims to be made whole. I appreciate your time.
Thanks so much, John. Have a great day.
You betcha. He's with the Clifford Law Firm here in Chicago.